by way of introduction.
If you were here this morning, you know that one of our brothers in Christ needs prayers, and his family needs prayers mm-hmm. this hour. He is going to be seen to tomorrow. They're going to take him to a physician and have him taken care of at that time. But right now he seems very normal, that there's nothing at all wrong. So that's a good sign. Bad things that happen on Sunday, and it's either the emergency room or waiting today. They're going to take care of that tomorrow. Hayden is with them. He went back to Fort Worth to drive them back home. Told him this morning, don't worry. Tonight was his night to preach. So as I normally start, I'm not Bill Burt. Well, tonight, I'm not Hayden Evans either. Danny and I, we would also like to tell you this. We hired Hayden because we had an opportunity, feel like we could add a minister on staff that would not be financially non-advantageous for us, and that he would bring some skills that we would need. Bill does a wonderful job. This is not anything in the future for Bill. Bill will be here as long as Letta doesn't hit him over the head with the skillet. But at the same time, we wanted to give him somewhat of a break. He has his mom, he has the girls, and then Letta has him. So pray for Letta. January this year did not start the way Danny and Alan and I wanted it to. We did not even have an opportunity really to introduce Hayden to maybe more than half the church, half our congregation. And I'll tell you this, that's not fair for him. It's not even fair on your part. But when Bill and I are pushing up daisies at home under electric blankets trying to break fever, we really didn't have much of a choice in how the year started. We really haven't had much of a choice since last March, except for our own individual faith. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. If you have your Bibles, please turn in your New Testament to the book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter. And I know that Letta has hungered all afternoon because she's able to be away for a little while. Bill said, if she's free, let Letta go up there and I'll give her a break. And I said, boy, she does need a break. So you get to listen to me and not Bill for a while. Over this last, going on a year now, many things have been out of our control. I was very well reminded of that of January when I had a fever for 14 days, and my only prayer was, good Lord, please take care of me and heal me so I can take care of the people that I need to take care of. That's what I prayed. It took me about 6 days because for the first 6 days, I think, I got this. And then the fever subsisted, and Bonnie got tired of me asking, how does my chest sound? How do my words sound? She's like, go back to your room. By the way, she tested positive. She had her own quarantine area. But everybody got well, except yours truly. Maybe I'm not yours truly, but here I sit. And while I'm sitting there praying the prayer, and every morning I got up, took a breathing treatment, said, Lord, let today be the day that this fever goes far from me. Have fever all day, get ready at night, take a breathing treatment, put Vicks on. Lord, please let this be the day, that this night, that the fever goes far from me. Well, finally, when they gave me some veterinarian medicine, and maybe that's the problem with all this anyway, I'm trying human medicine. If you get some ivermectin in you, apparently that's what worked for me. I don't know. Maybe I just had hoof and mouth disease. I have no idea. But that seemed to work on me. There's so many things in our world that are not in our control. And they are never meant to be. When we open God's Word and when we see where there are so many things that was out of the control of first century Christians, we should come back somewhat to a reality that this world is fallen, is broken, is sinful. It will never be right. Even Paul writes in Romans the 8th chapter, it is looking for a time of redemption itself. Over in the book of Acts, one of the sermons talks about waiting until the time of seasons of refreshing come. And as Scripture comes to a close, inspiration comes to a close in the book of Revelation, we find John exiled on the Isle of Patmos for his religious belief. And Patmos was basically a criminal prison colony, a labor colony where you went when the Roman government wanted to get rid of you. They would take you and they would work you in the pits and the quarries until you just died. That's what the Isle of Patmos was. It was a prisoner's colony. And while he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, he received a revelation. And starting in chapter 1, verse 17, he defines who this is that's speaking to them. And it says in verse 17, "Do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, the living one. I was dead, but behold, I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and Hades. Therefore, write the things you saw, the things which are, the things that are going to happen afterwards." That is Jesus the Messiah. And in chapter 2, and the book of Revelation is full of how we might interpret different things about it. You could probably even go around the auditorium tonight. There's so many different ways in which you could interpret the book of Revelation. But the most general principle is that in the end, the Christians win. And then in chapters 2 and 3, there are subsisting principles for believers and for congregations or churches of the Lord's people that they're going to go through different things. In chapter 2, starting in verse 1, you have what's known as the loveless church, the church at Ephesus. In verse 8, you have the persecuted church, the church at Smyrna. In 12, you have the compromising church, the church at Pergamos. In 18, chapter 2, you have the corrupt church, and that would be the church at Thyatira. In chapter 3, starting in verse 1, you have the church at Sardis, who was probably known maybe as the dead church. And in chapter 3, verse 14, you have Laodicea and the lukewarm church, and that's the one that always gets preached about. But tonight we're going to look at the one right above it. The faithful church. The church of Philadelphia. The church of brotherly love. Write to the messenger, to the congregation, or the angel of the congregation of Philadelphia. The Holy One, the true one, he who has David's key, who opens the door. This is a wonderful teaching idiom or parallel or metaphor. He who opens the door. Is that the Bible that doesn't have Revelation in it?
It is.
I just wanted to tell you. Yeah, I know that's old and ragged, but it's got them all. Sorry. He who opens and no one else will close. And who closes and no one opens. Say these things. Jesus is here talking to John and he's saying, it's me, and part of who I am, the Logos of God, the Word of God, is that if I open it, it cannot be closed. If I close it, no one's going to open it if I don't want it to be so. In other words, this is the reality. I'm the Word of God and I have the last say. And if you look at the very next phrase, say these things. And notice how Scripture goes from there. I know your works. Isn't it comforting to know that all we've been through in the last 12 months, that God's eye's not only been on the sparrow, it's been on us too? How many times in the last 12 months have prayed for deliverance? How many times in the last 12 months have you prayed for knowledge in pharmacy school? How many times in the last 12 months, I just look, that's how I do this, y'all know that. How many times in the last 12 months have you had something on your heart that was pressing that you prayed about? How many times in the last 12 months, maybe because this has touched us all, has death come to your family? Your extended family. And then, because of the things that are in place, you can't I don't want to say this. Do what's normal. You can't grieve. You can't be with those that you love, and you can't put your arms around them, can you, sir? Now, I can do the funeral, but that doesn't help you wanting to love on your brother that you lost. We've lost people in our families to COVID, but more than that, we've lost people that we love that are just part of our families through this normal circumstance of nature. Jesus says, I know. That should be comforting to us because it's probably quite apparent. He knows what it's like to walk down that road and to lose those that you love. He knows what it's like to lose friends. He knows what it's like to take care of those that you love. He would even go one more beyond us. He knows what it's like to leave someone that he loves to a friend of his to take care on his death. Jesus says, I know your works. And while this is written to the congregation, we need to think about it not just individually, but also maybe more widely than that. I know your works. I said in Bible class, I'm so thankful. I never wanted anything like this. No one in their right mind would have wanted anything that has happened in the last 12 months. But aren't you thankful God in his wisdom, it occurred when we had the technology to continue on. And although we may be socially distant, we did not have to not be able to see each other or talk to each other, that we have text messages and telephones and the internet and email and Facebook and everything else in the world. You think that just because when you go to the book of Job, Job is walking around as seeking someone to devour, although that's not where that verse is found. And God asks Satan, he says, have you considered my servant Job? The original language, have you set your heart on Job? Is that who you want, Satan? He's the most faithful man in all the earth. If you go and you look at what God called Job, that would be a wonderful epitaph for anyone that's here or anyone that's not here today. Tonight. Have you set your heart on Job? Is that who you want, Satan? Well, let me tell you something. I let the hedges down around us. Over the last 12 months, we've had the hedges reduced for us all. I think as we go through our life, and this is my opinion and not something that I necessarily would hold as a universal fact, I think the older we get, the more the hedges come down. You know, Satan tempts because he wants us to fail. God tests because he wants us to improve. So when we are tested in our faith, we're not tempted in our faith. We should count it, as James says, all joy, because when we get through that time of testing and or temptation, we're going to be stronger. The broken arm will heal, and it won't be the same. But that place where it heals will be stronger. He says, I know
who works.
I know where you are. I know where you live. I know where you serve. So think about this. In the last 12 months, I just want you to know, and this is not a message from the elders tonight, time after time after time, you have proved your faithfulness in things in your own Christianity, in the things that you have been called to do that you know are part of New Testament Christianity. I want to tell you one thing. It's not like that in every place. There are congregations that are cutting mission works. We're not. And we're able to keep and sustain the mission program that we have in Jamaica, in the Philippines, and in other places, simply because you continue to do what you've always done. Jesus says, I know your works. And behold, because you've done these works, because you're faithful, behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can close. Go back to the introduction. Jesus says, if I open it, it's open. Nobody's going to be able to close it. And why do we get this open door, Jesus? Because you have a little strength. You don't rely on your own. You rely on true strength, God. You have kept my message and you have not denied my name. All over the first century world, there was people saying, no, if you just let us live, we don't know who Jesus is. Wasn't that way with the Church of Philadelphia. Wasn't that way with the Church of Brotherly Love and Brotherly Kindness. They put their faith where their confession was. They put their faith where their confession was. Cole and Emma and John and Madison and I don't know how many, I guess we got four or five, and Marilyn is up at Harding. Harding's a wonderful place, wonderful land of opportunity. But I can assure you, if you ask them, not everyone that goes to that university has the faith of their confession no mouth. A lot of them do. But not everyone. Jesus says there's a door of opportunity. Well, think about that as a church. We have opportunity for mission works. We have opportunity for this. We have opportunity. Think about it individually. As a congregation, it's made up of individuals. We have lived, it seems like, through the worst part of the pandemic and the pandemonium and social unrest and social injustice that has gone on for years. So we have the thing that's going on for years. And then we have this snippet in time period, this 12 to 18 month period of what we have. And now we have vaccines and it looks like everything's getting better. But guess what? It'll be something else. It'll be something else. We're going to get a vaccine and we're not going to worry about COVID anymore, Maureen, and we'll just hug whenever we want to, won't we, sister? But you know what? There'll be something else come along. There'll be another trial or tribulation in life because that's what life is. But Jesus says, if you hold fast to my word, the confession of your faith, I'm going to give you a door of opportunity. And within our community right now, we have an open door of opportunity. How many houses are they going to build in the next 15 years?
Several thousand.
We already have, we've been contacted by, Bonnie and I have, by a Miss Stuckey who worships for James and Athena Duke down in the Woodlands. They bought a home in Wildcat Ranch. And she's looking forward to coming here and being with us. We have an open door of opportunity. And we can step through it. But more than that, you have your own open door of individual opportunity. There are people that only you can influence. You know, as much as Linda Joe up here would love to just have every teacher a school here in Crandall that she could just wave a magic wand with, guess what? And I don't mean to this be a magic wand, Deanne. But Deanne has an opportunity. One of her opportunities is that, you know, she is in charge of many teachers who do what? Are in charge of many students. So she has a power of influence, not just over, how many's on the faculty, Deanne? 50?
No, we're about 83.
Okay, how many?
83.
83? Not just an opportunity to deal with 83, but all that 83 will influence. We have an open door of opportunity. You have an open door of opportunity. W.A. used to say, there's always someone that only you can influence for good. That's true. There's always somebody looking up to you. There's always somebody looking at you. One day, in the last 6 months, I was walking in, had on my cowboy hat, must have been this summer, got to the front door, took it off, come in, hung it up, and Bruce said, you know, Landry was looking at you because he looked up at Paul and said, Roy's got on a cowboy hat, he's walking in the building. And I took it off before I hit the front door. And Terry Bruce said, see, and Roy takes his hat off before he goes inside. And you never know who you're looking at. Never. You have an individual opportunity. We all do. We have a congregational opportunity moving right along, and we're almost done. I know that you don't believe that, but that's a good thing. Behold, I will make those of Satan's synagogue, those who call themselves Jews but are not, and are lying. In other words, the people who think that they are my people, but they're not. The people who say that they're Christians, but they're not. Well, how do you know they're not, Jesus, if you go right back up? Because you have not kept my message, and you have denied my name. Because if you're a Christian, you're going to keep the message, and you're not going to deny the name. So if you're going to say you're going to be part of my people, you're going to be part of my people. If you're going to be part of my people, you're going to do things in a certain way. And if you are, I'm going to give you a door of opportunity. I'm going to give you an opportunity for blessing. I'm going to bless you in ways that you don't even know how to ask about. But notice what he says from there on. I will make them to come and bow at your feet that they may know that I love you. Well, what does Jesus do to his people? He loves them. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Jesus here continues on and he says, because you have kept the message of my steadfastness, I will also keep you from the hour of tempting or testing, which is coming on the whole world to try those who live on the earth. There's nothing new under the sun. We're going to be tempted by Satan. We're going to be tested. Things are going to happen to us, as we've already said. But he says, guess what? There's going to be an end to it. And you say, well, how do you know? Next sentence. I'm coming soon. Because when Jesus comes back, there's going to be no more sickness, no more death, no more decay. Because the former thing is going to be passed away. And that's the day we as Christians are looking forward, because that is the day of our ultimate redemption. You say, well, I've already been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Yes, you have. If you put Christ on in baptism, and you've confessed his name, and you've repented of your sins, and you put him on in the waters of baptism, you're right. You come in contact with the blood of Christ, and you are redeemed. But our ultimate redemption is going to come when we are ultimately reconciled once again with God, because that's what we were made for. We were made for that purpose, to have a relationship with God and to have it forever. How long would Adam and Eve have stayed in the garden had they not sinned and rebelled against God? Yeah. And you say, well, Roy, is that's where we are. I get that. Just look at the next phrase. We have another metaphor that's used. There's a warning that says, hold fast what you have, that nobody takes your crown. Notice verse 12. And verse 12 is a wonderful verse that many a sermon could be developed from. But verse 12 talks about the ultimate reconciliation from God and with God. I will make him who overcomes the things in your life, the things that you're going against, the things that life throws at you, the times that Satan is tempting you, the pandemic, the pandemonium, the social injustice, the social unrest, the spiritual unrest, and everything else that you go through in our earthly life. Jesus says, I know your works, I know what you're going through, but to him who overcomes, I'll make him a pillar of God in God's temple. Now let me ask you this, for all you Sunday schoolers. In Solomon's temple, outside Solomon's temple, there were pillars at the front. And if you go into the Old Testament and you do your Hebrew history, you'll find that those pillars had names on them as well. This is not about the name on the pillar. Notice where the pillar is. It's in God's temple. Who dwelt in the temple? Who's in the holiest of holies? God. You're going to be part of the house of God where God dwells forever. That's the metaphor that is being taught here. It's taught that we're going to be reconciled. We're going to be part of the temple of God. And not only that, if you're part of the church today, you're already part of that. Not in the ultimate way, which will come at the second coming of Jesus Christ, but you're already part of God's pillar, part of his temple. And we are being more like him every day. Jesus says, if you hold fast, if you don't let people take your crown because they want it, Satan wants you because he knows what he's going to miss. He says, you'll be part of God's pillar in God's temple. He finishes up, and he shall never go out. Our religious world talks about once saved, always saved many times. On this side of death, not so much of that is taught in the Bible. In fact, none of it is. But there's coming a day when the former things in death and sickness are carried away. And when they are carried away, and we have the ultimate relationship restored with God, never change. There's probably a reason in Revelation 22:20. You find the words, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Because this world is pale and fading away. And each day we step a little closer. Each day we get a little closer. Each day that we're faithful, we get a little closer. Each day there's another opportunity for us to get closer. Each day there's another opportunity for us to do good. Until we are ultimately reconciled with God, which is what we were made for. And the wonderful thing about that, if you go to 2 Corinthians, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th chapters, we've been given that ministry of reconciliation. Our opportunity is to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. To let others know that not just what we have, but what they can have. I sincerely think that many of the things that we've gone through in this last year, I hope and I pray that there'd be some spiritual reflection on many, many people. And that many people would be more open to the gospel of Jesus Christ because of the things that they've gone through. I'm a glasses half full person. I think that that's going to be the case. I know that this is a fallen world. I know there's some people that won't give us a time of day. But I will say this. I bet now there's more people that are willing to listen and at least give an ear. We need to be in prayer about that. We need to seek opportunities. We need to invite people to come to worship assembly. Wonderful service this morning. But we have that open door of opportunity. And if you look at the doors that are mentioned in the New Testament, that door of opportunity is open. It's open for us to walk through and to walk through victorious. And whether that's one or whether that's 101, that's the way God made it. And we can be victorious because He's on our side. Amen. If there's anyone here tonight that needs the prayers of the church for anything in their life, we're ready, willing, and able to do that. There may be someone here tonight that wants to put Christ on in baptism. The waters are ready for you to come in contact with the blood of Jesus. As you go out this week, as you go out the door, as you start the week, think about the opportunities that you have. And start seeking them and seeing them. Because they're all around us. It's just we have to lift up our eyes to see things the way God and Jesus does instead of the way that we do. If you can, if we can be a help to you anyway spiritually tonight, please make it known while together we stand and while we sing.